In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I was talking to one of our parishioners recently about where they work out. And they were saying they go to a 24-hour place in the Mission District. And I noticed that that has become less of a fad these days and more of just a thing, which is to say, you can go work out at any time of the day or day or night. Which is kind of cool, really, because sometimes our schedules are such that the only time you can go to work out is maybe after the kids are put to bed and one parent is home with the kids, or maybe you finished a project at work. I like that. And not to plug any particular fitness place, but you know, one of the most well-known, of course, maybe the first, was so-called 24-hour fitness. And you can go and work out anytime you want, but you can't work out 24 hours a day. In fact, if you want to get in shape, you probably should actually take a break between workouts and rest. And those who study physiology say that that rest time between workouts is almost as important as the workout itself, as your body recovers and reshapes itself. So don't work out 24 hours a day, but you have the availability of a place to work out 24 hours a day these days. Now that's different from living the Christian faith. Not only is God's grace everywhere, and not only does it fill all things and is everywhere present all of the time, but there is no rest or recovery between Christian workouts. And that's because Christianity isn't a workout. It's not a workout that I do on Sunday morning until my next workout next Sunday morning. But Christianity is a way of life, and no one can overdo it with regard to how he or she lives out the faith. Christianity is a way of life, and if you look at one of the earliest descriptions of the faith, it was called the Way. Here is from Acts, talking about Paul in Ephesus. And he entered the synagogue and for 3 months spoke boldly, arguing and pleading about the kingdom of God. But when some were stubborn and disbelieved, speaking evil of the way, before the congregation he withdrew from them, taking the disciples with him. The way, that's what Christianity was known as, the way. Why was it the way? Because it was the road, the odos, the way that led to the kingdom of heaven. But it was a way of life. It is a way of life. Our commitment as Christians is not binary. I mean, it is binary, excuse me. It is not something we can kind of sort of do. It's either on or off. You're either a Christian or you're not. You either live the faith or you don't. It is as binary as any digital board might be. And we know that because Jesus, in quoting Deuteronomy, says what? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. Now there's a consequence, by the way, to trying to live a double life. To trying to be a Christian sometimes and just a person who fits in another time. And Jesus himself tells us about it, that in the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 13. He goes, as for what was sown among thorns, this is the parable of the sowers, well known to most of us. As for those that were sown among thorns, that is the seeds, this is he who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the delights in riches choke the word. It proves unfruitful. If the seed is thrown among those people who care as much for the cares of the world, the seed gets choked out. It gets choked out by the distractions. There is a consequence to forgetting that Christianity is an all-in way of life. Now, our Christianity must inform every aspect of our life, but as we're reminded in this morning's epistle reading, we're all different. St. Paul, writing to the Romans, starts out this way. Brethren, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, he who teaches in his teaching, he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who contributes in his liberality, he who gives aid with zeal, He who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. There's a role, a unique role for each of us as Christians and in our Christian identity. So even though you and I have to be all in, we're all in a different way because we're all unique. At the same time, there are common traits that all Christians should share, and St. Paul reminds us of those as well. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with a brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Never flag in zeal. Be aglow with the Spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in your hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. That's for each one of us. So each one of us individually is all in with regard to the faith. But then each one of us also has a certain set of requirements, and those are among them. Now, when we find ourselves as Christians kind of, sort of practicing the faith, but not always, it's typically not because we're hypocrites. And when we're younger, we love to stand outside churches and comment about the people coming out the church. And, oh, look at that one. Look how nice their shoes are. Look at the car they're getting into. Or, did you see that person light up a cigarette? And I'm sorry, but that's really petty and trivial and something that we would expect out of a 15-year-old. If there are 15-year-olds in here, I apologize. But typically, our living a double life as Christians isn't a matter of hypocrisy. It's just good intentions gone bad. I wondered where the expression came from, so of course I looked it up on the internet where everything is true. But supposedly, the first person in the Western world to say it was somebody, Saint Bernard of Clairvaux. And he says this, he was writing in French. And those of you who speak French, forgive me, but he goes, "L'enfer est plein de bonne volonté ou désir." Hell is full of good wishes or desires. And we know that's true. We all have good wishes and desires and plans, but we have to follow through on them. How do we make sure we follow through on these plans and desires? Well, it's to be vigilant, to be watchful. St. Paul, writing to the Colossians, says, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Keeping alert in it. Remember Jesus in the garden admonishing his slumbering disciples. Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Keep watching and praying. Peter writes this in his first epistle, be of sober spirit. Be on the alert of your adversary. The devil prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. So we have to be alert. We have to keep focused. That is why we are to pray regularly throughout the day. That is why we keep the fast. That is why we worship as often as possible, to stay vigilant so that we can live Christianity as a way of life, not as just a sometimes thing. Which brings me then to the 15 days of August that start August 1st. And it is a time period that anticipates the feast of the falling asleep of the Theotokos, of the Mother of God. And it is a time period that gives us an opportunity to reinforce our perspective that Christianity is a 24/7 lifestyle. Because there are extra services and there is a fast. And so it is a way for us to become even sharper with regard to making the faith a way of life. It is a way to cultivate our individual vigilance. So we know that every evening, August 1st through 15th, there'll be a church service. Very often we'll do something called great or small paraklesis. These are supplication services to the Mother of God. And that there is no excuse for somebody coming to church and saying, I don't understand, because we have the books in Greek and English. And if you don't want to hold a book, you can even follow along on the internet. Now sometimes people say, I don't know what the service is about. What happens in the middle? Where does it end? I'm unfamiliar with it. Well, that's okay. That's a great thing. The way to get familiar with the service is to come to the service and follow along and sing along, and then it will no longer be unfamiliar to you. That's the way we learn anything. We'll have Vespers on Saturday, as we typically do during these fast periods. We don't always have Saturday Vespers because we have a lot of weddings and such on Saturday, but we'll have Vespers then, and we'll have Vespers the evening before the Feast of the Transfiguration, August 6th, Vespers on the 5th, and Vespers on the 14th before the Feast of the Dormition, where we'll also chant the Lamentations to the Panagia. And, of course, we have Divine Liturgies on Sundays and on the aforementioned feasts. And we do all of these things so that what? So that we can come to every service? Well, God grant, I will try to be at every service. That was kind of a joke. All right. But come to some of them. If you have all of these services and you go 0 for 20 or whatever it is, you know, what's up with that? What exactly is our excuse? Even people who say, I don't like to drive at night, that's a legitimate excuse. Lots of people here are willing to pick you up, but come to church at least a few times. Practice vigilance. Reinforce this notion that Christianity is not something I just do on a Sunday. And what about fasting? Well, the fasting guidelines are outlined on the Orthodox Greek Orthodox Archdiocese website, on church calendars. But if you have specific questions about fasting, please talk to the priest whom you see for confession. And if you don't have a priest you see for confession, that's an even more urgent need than whether or not you can have Cool Whip instead of canned whipped cream or something like that. Now, why bother? Why bother with this vigilance? Why bother with focusing ourselves on Christ 24/7? Why bother doing all that? Well, it's because we want what some of the paralytic had this morning, where he encounters Jesus, and Jesus tells him, number one, your sins are forgiven, and number two, get up and walk. And we want that. At least I want that. I want my sins to be forgiven. I want to be healed. I want to have radical encounters with Jesus Christ. And that's why we do these things, so that our lives can be saved, so that our lives can be healed, so that we can know Christ. Now, in closing, I'm going to warn you, this is kind of a cheesy close, and I apologize ahead of time. But, you know, that's one of the ways to remember sermons, too. So please think about this. We're about to embark on a time of year that helps us refocus with regard to living our Orthodox Christianity. It reminds us that our faith is not something that we simply do on Sundays, but it is a way of life. It is a way of life that is different for each one of us and the same for all of us. It requires vigilance. Vigilance, vigilance, vigilance. Paying attention, doing the right things. So that we can be changed. So that those of us who are struggling to live as Orthodox Christians might be looked upon by the world and offer to the world a 24-hour witness.